Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 tonight. I think it was Tuesday night. We were kind of just kicking around the house, doing something. I don't know what we were doing Tuesday night. I think we were watching Allison maybe on. No, we weren't because she didn't have. It wasn't televised or wasn't on the internet. But we were just sitting around and I saw, you know, when I'm watching TV or whatever, I just flip through maybe Facebook feed or Twitter feed or whatever. And you know, you'll see some news articles or see just stuff on there. And something caught my attention. I'll talk about it in a moment here. But it got me really thinking about a certain area. And I thought about it a lot this week. And I was just sitting down the other, I think it was like Thursday or something like that, just kind of jotting down some thoughts, some things that were kind of hitting my heart on where to preach. And I noticed a lot of them had the same line to it. And I really felt like what God was speaking to me on Tuesday night about was important for us to just talk about. Now this one, it'd probably take a couple weeks because I really was doing a lot of studying on it. And pulled up a lot of information on it, and there was no way I could get through all the information. I just really wanted to give you kind of what the Holy Spirit had laid on my heart specifically about it. I've come to that assurance that I've heard people say, "Well, not everybody's here, but the ones that need it tonight are here." And I've figured that out as just a lie. Because there's people that just miss church and they needed it just as much as anybody else did. Maybe they were the ones it was supposed to be for, and they just decided to not come. So I I'm not pointing at anybody that's not here. I'm just simply saying that, you know, some of this, I guess we'd be more. There's a level of caution here, a level of watch yourselves, take care of the little things. That kind of feeling behind what we're going to talk about here tonight and for the next couple weeks. But in Matthew 24, it talks about the end times. As a matter of fact, it talks about the times that we're living in. It talks about really the times that we're moving into. It talks about the times that we're moving into. There's some that believe that Matthew 24 is talking about the time during the tribulation. There's others that believe that it's talking about the days leading into the tribulation. I really have more tendency to believe it that way, but I'm not opposed. If you understand it this way, that the times leading into the tribulation, once you get into the tribulation, it's gonna continue on that way. I mean, that's just, so I think either one of them can be right and probably are right. But when I read chapter 24, what we're looking at is just kind of the picture of what things are gonna look like. During this last days, before Jesus comes again. And just this little excerpt, let's start in verse 10 here. And it kind of just says everything right here, what I want to talk about here tonight. And I would say next week, I don't think it'll be more than 2 weeks, but, it says, "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. False prophets arise, deceive many, because iniquity shall abound, love of many will wax cold, and that he that endured the end will be saved." But that first phrase, "and many shall be offended." And that, if that does not define our world, I don't know what is. I mean, just the mentality of let's be general neutral because we don't want to offend somebody. Let's, you look, and again, I'm not pushing one side or the other. I think most of you know which side I'm on. But you look at, the State of the Union address, and half of that building was offended. Everything that came out of the president's mouth, they sat there with their arms crossed and annoyed and just, "I'm not listening to you. I'm not going down there. Should we stand up for this?" Well, we might want to because he said sex trafficking is wrong. Or sex slave work is wrong. Yeah, well, okay. Then we'll agree with that. I don't know why you have to think about that one, whether it's right or wrong. That one doesn't make sense to me. whoever's up there saying sex trafficking is wrong, you stand up and you go, you're right. I mean, that's all there is to that. But there's so much offense. There's so much deep-rooted hatred. And again, that's what offense is. Just offense going unchecked leads to hatred. And it's a dangerous place to be. I mean, there's many of us in this room where maybe you've had some experience with unchecked offense, and you've had to deal with it. Some of you, maybe you've had some offense and you've allowed to get to a certain way, and you work on it. But that's the climate we're living in right now. The word that just came in my mind as I was typing on this tonight was snowflakes. Because again, that's what everybody, you feel it because they say something and it just makes you melt. This is so horrible and I don't know what to do. No, that shouldn't, see, what I want to deal with you tonight is that is unacceptable in the life of a Christian. Now what got all this, thinking about this is, I remember just a part of it. We did not do a good job of listening to commercials. We watched them and we didn't listen to them at the Super Bowl. And there's one commercial that I remember because Neil said, I wasn't either Neil or John, that there's guys that were pulling on the door and it said push and they pushed it. And that was the only thing that we remember. I think it was Neil or John said, well, it's got the pull handle if on a push. It doesn't make sense. And so that's all I remembered of the commercial. But the next day I was flipping, Tuesday I was flipping through, and I found out that commercial was a big hoo-ha going on, just where a bunch of people were mad at it. And specifically, it was the Christians that were mad at that commercial. Now here we go. You ready for the reason for this? It was a Zaxby's commercial, and it had two guys on it. I didn't catch it, but one of them is Jeff Saturday. He played for the Indianapolis Colts. I think he may have played for another team in the NFL, but he played for them. And then Rick Monday played baseball back in the 70s. I think Dodgers. I think he played for the Cubs some too. So they had Jeff Saturday and Rick Monday. And they said, the only thing that comes between us is where to get chicken on Sunday. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's kind of a backhanded thing at Chick-fil-A, which, you know what Chick-fil-A would say? Go to Zaxby's on Sunday. We ain't open. Yeah. They wouldn't. I don't think they're offended at that fact, because if you want to go, they're not losing business if you go to Zaxby's on Sunday.
Right. That's right.
I mean, it's just that it did not make sense to get offended at that. But I guess after that commercial, Christians began flooding their Facebook page, began flooding Zaxby's Twitter page, everything they could put it on, that you have been offensive to Christians, you offended me as a Christian, that is offensive stuff. And I'm sitting there just going, that's kind of one of the more clever commercials from the Super Bowl. There wasn't a lot of really clever commercials, and that was one of the more clever commercials. And how does that offend you? And the thought hit me just simply is that because it's a sign of the time. Mm-hmm. Is because we're getting into that place where we get our feelings hurt, get offended easier and easier and easier. And again, it's okay to notice the signs of the times. Just don't let them get inside of you. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, so many of the Christians I know and conservatives I know get so angry at how, you know, because we use the word snowflakes, referring to more of the liberal people that just melt at anything that is not, that's contrary to them. But here we are in a very creative, not a hostile commercial, melting as Christians over a commercial that is not attacking Christians. It's just telling them where to go to get chicken on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, if you really want to look at it, apparently The other 6 days of the week, they struggle because there's another good chicken place out there to eat, to have. So, but again, my point is, I'm not going to preach on that commercial, but it really got me thinking about why are we allowing ourselves to become like the world? If the world wants to get offended, let them get offended. Why? Because Jesus says, God said, in the end days, they're going to be offended. Don't be surprised for it. Don't try to figure out, why is this happening? Excuse me. When I don't swallow for a long time. Create some saliva. Are you following me on here? We this ought not be in the church world. We don't need to be acting like the world acts. Now again, I'm not saying just because those people said they were Christians doesn't mean they're Christians. All right, but it's a sign of the time that of offense. Jesus said it. Don't be surprised when it shows up, but don't let it show up in you. Beloved, as Christians, we should be impossible to offend. Our number one job, according, go to Mark 11. Because see, offense is holding something against someone because they've hurt you. And it's kind of it's a short definition, maybe not the perfect definition, but basically you've hurt me, and so I put up a wall against you. There's more. I was going to get in more, a little more into this picture. It says in Proverbs, I believe it is, that a brother who's offended is harder to be won than to defeat a strong city. And the picture there is that a strong city, especially in those days, were known for their strongholds, their walls that were around them that were built to keep you from penetrating them. And so when someone's offended because of something that happened to them, because something someone did to them, they build this wall and they shut off people and they keep people at a distance. And so it's hard to penetrate. It's hard to go after them. It's hard to love them. So anyway, our number one job as Christians has got to be not allowing people, you hurt my feelings, I'm going to be mad at you. It's letting go. Mark chapter 11, verse 26, and says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught. Now, if you can kind of get this picture, have aught, is almost a picture of a wall. You've got something that's dividing you. You have something that is keeping other people away from you. You have aught against any. If there's anyone, anybody that you have a division, a separation from, an offense to, forgive. Why? Why? Do you know what they did to me? Why do I need to forgive them? Well, that your Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. If you don't forgive, if you hold an offense, I mean, we can look at it the other way. If you don't forgive or if you hold the offense, then your Father in heaven is not going to forgive you. Well, this begins telling us and picturing that as a Christian, beloved, when we have, by any stretch of the imagination, see offense rise up in us. And again, we can say, well, I'm not offended. It just hurt my feelings. Well, can we say this? Hurt feelings lead to offense. Offense leads to hate. In other words, your hurt feelings really is a light sprinkling of what we call offense. In other words, it may be the light part of it. It's offense light. You know, like Bud Light, right? And it's not offense zero. Like Coke Zero, because there is offense there. It's just a light dosage of it. But beloved, our job is, we cannot hold things against people. And again, I say this, I'm looking, I'm going, yeah, you guys are all wonderful, peachy. But I have a feeling that even as I'm thinking, as I'm preaching on this, some of you have a couple people in your mind that you're going, I've kind of, put that ought against us. And sometimes we think it's the other person, and it can be the other person's fault too. I mean, this takes two to tango. But you have said, well, I know, I'm going to keep my distance, whatever, okay. But see, beloved, and we're not going to get into this a lot tonight. I think we've talked about it. But offense is going to stop the blessings of God from operating in your lives, and therefore it has no place in our lives. Go to Luke 17. Now here's where we're going to really just kind of, I had 20 different places I could have gone, and I really didn't know where. But in my studying, I wrote down four things that I wanted to cover, and by the time I wrote them down, I thought, I don't think I'll have time to get into other things, and I really don't necessarily want to. I think it would be sufficient, even if maybe shorter. I don't know if it'll be shorter or not, but even if it's shorter than normal, I think it'll be sufficient just to hit these points and really kind of give us this, what the Word of God is wanting for us. But in Luke 17, verse 1, it's kind of funny because when I first read it in my studying, I only focused on the first part. And then when I read it again later on, I realized, oh, there's more than one part to this. But we're going to kind of check out both parts. But Jesus said to his disciples in verse 1, "It is impossible, but that offenses will come." Well, that's nice, isn't it? That's a good thing to hear, is that it is literally impossible, but having the opportunity to take offense at people. That makes your day. I'm now more excited than ever. So in other words, don't think it's weird when somebody does something to you that you actually have to work at keeping peace. And I think a couple of months ago, probably I talked about letting peace rule and how important that was. And so don't think it weird when that happens, because it's impossible for you to live life without offenses coming knocking at your door. But remember, just because they knock at your door doesn't mean you have to answer. Amen? But then it goes on and says, but woe to him. And I think this is interesting, and I'll talk about it a little bit more. But it says, woe to him through whom they come. So in other words, woe to the one who delivers them. And we're going to look at a couple things here. Matter of fact, we're going to cover four things that really are, I think, wrapped up in this one scripture. And I think they're all things that we need to just watch ourselves for, if that's sufficient. But the first one, and they all tie into these two things. But the first one is, don't get offended at the world. See, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. It's impossible to live life without someone trying to offend you, someone saying something. One of the things I like, I have two feeds that I really scroll through. One's Facebook. Facebook, my desire more is my friends, just where they say something, they put pictures on, they talk about their day, things like that. Every now and then there's new news feeds, or people will put on memes or something funny, and it's humorous. But I just go through there really more to keep up with people, my friends and stuff like that. On Twitter, I follow very few of you guys on Twitter. I don't think I follow anybody on Twitter here. I think my kids have Twitter, and so I'll follow anything that they like and stuff like that. Matter of fact, one of the main reasons I got Twitter was when my kids played high school basketball. A lot of times I was the one doing the book, so I knew who scored points and stuff like that. So I'd tweet and connect it with Aaron Snyder or whoever's writing at the Moorhead News or something like that, so they would have an update of what the game happened. And that was really only so I have a lot of those contacts. Well, I've also got Ben Shapiro and the Crowder, Stephen Crowder. Yeah. I've got all those guys that are the conservative pundits and all that kind of stuff. which again they make comments of the other side, and then I have comedians that I follow that just say funny things. Well, a lot of the comedians are very liberal, and so they like and they click like or whatever on a lot of real liberal statements. And I sit there, and if I focus on it too much, I get really annoyed with it. And I'm like, I don't follow Jim Gaffigan to hear about some liberal thought that he has or what. And there's the temptation, like everybody. I'll tell you, I have never stopped, unfriended or unfollowed anybody because of a political tweet. But there's a temptation to, because they hurt my feelings. They said something against how I believe. People will say stuff against God. People will say stuff against this, or they'll like it, or they'll whatever. And it's like, how dare them? That's who I am. That's what I do. Listen, I have opportunities to be offended all the time when people want to tell me, understand what I'm saying here, heathen, want to tell me, or people that don't know the Bible very well want to explain the Bible to me. And they're like, you do understand that I spend my life. That's what I do is work going, getting in the Bible and finding out what the Bible says, finding out what God says. You do understand that, don't you? I don't really need all your, I listen to enough people to get thoughts. But my point is that when we get offended at the world, it just doesn't make sense. Go over to Acts chapter 24. Now again, our focus just is here in these four points is Luke chapter 17, verse 1, where it says, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe to them through who they come. And so the first three are going to be focused really on it's impossible but offenses will come. The last one will be that last phrase. So number one, don't get offended by the word. Acts chapter 24, verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, now this is, he's talking to government officials, about being mishandled, being mistreated. And he says, herein do I exercise myself. Which that wording, I know to us, is like, what is he exercising for? This just means he's working really hard at it. Herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Now, again, God, that's going to be our number three point in this thing. But he said, I don't care what the man is. It doesn't say towards God and towards the brethren. Towards God and towards men. Towards all men, I want to be offense-free. Offense is the way world's way of operating. It should never be our way. And when the world tries to do something against us or say something against us, it should be like water off a duck's back. When I was let me say it this way. Let me read the Amplified, then I'll say what I was going to say. Therefore, the Amplified version on this version says, therefore, I always exercise and discipline myself, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, blameless conscience, void of offense towards God and towards men. That's some work. I exercise, I discipline, I mortify, I deaden my body appetite. I mean, that's saying he works hard at making sure I don't have a fit. Why? Because it's going to stop the flow of what God wants to do in your life. There's a lot of Christians, I believe, that are trying to figure out why things aren't snapping for them or they're not going for them. And honestly, if there's some, I believe that you can look in some unresolved offense areas where they've not forgiven, where they've been hurt, and so they're just keeping people at a distance, and God's saying, stop it, let that go, so that we can have a total flow of what I want to do. Now the picture I saw here, when I was a youth pastor in Georgetown. I started a thing my first year, second year there. I was there 6 years, and we called it Knee Bowl. We always did it the week, I believe, after the Super Bowl, and we had a game, a football game on our knees It started in our fellowship hall until we broke a few things. And then we took it outside and we always prayed for good weather, which we did. And I would go out, man, I'd go out, if you know me, I'd go out and I'd spray paint lines. And we had like a 40, quote unquote, 40 yard football field. And there were only two foot yards, so it wasn't like it was huge. And then I'd spray paint, I'd put the names, I'd get two captains, they'd pick teams of all the boys in the church. And then I'd spray paint their names in the end zones. It was a big to do. And then I'd have somebody, a couple of the girls would come along and they'd keep stats and stuff like that just to, fifth year I was there, we had 5 years of stats. So we had record holders, we had all this kind of stuff. And the boys just absolutely loved it. We tried to do it with the girls with volleyball. Just wasn't quite the same because they, amen. That was the one, if you ever heard me talk about the girl that cut her finger, and I'm like, at an all night lock in, it was because she was trying to make stuff for her knees. So, cause we were doing the volleyball inside and she started cutting stuff and she cut her finger. I'm like, know when to stop. Anyway, so most of the year we'd play football here and there, but this was our big one. And most of the year we'd play flag football, but this year when you played on your knees, you played tackle. You had to be tackled. And so the opening kickoff 1 year, this is about a year or so before I left, it's kickoff. And you kick off by putting the ball down on the ground and hit it with your hand. I mean, it was a whole big to do. So the kickoff. And this kid who normally is in basketball mode gets the ball. He's a good athlete. And he starts shuffling along on his knees because you're limited on how fast you can run on your knees. So he's shuffling along his knees. And then he gets there, gets up to where he meets the other guys. And they're all grabbing him and holding him and trying to tackle him. And he literally looks at me with this look of amazement and frustration. And he's like, he couldn't figure out what they're doing because he's in basketball mode. And you can't do that in basketball. He said, well, they're holding me. And I thought he was kidding. And he looked at me and he got more serious. They're holding me. And again, they loved me, but when you get in sports mode, you get kind of little, they're holding me. And I looked at him and said, Billy, you have the ball. They're tackling you. And once he realized, oh, and he just started laughing and like, oh, okay. And that should have been established in his head. I understand that. But once that was established in his head, he didn't get upset when someone tried to tackle him. He didn't get upset when someone tried to, he didn't get tackled and then get up and say, why are you guys not picking on Thomas over there? He's just standing over there doing nothing and you keep tackling me. Cause you've got what we want. You've got the prize. You've got the thing. And so often, Kim Roth brought it out about, she said, didn't want to watch the Super Bowl and God told me to watch the Super Bowl. And she said, I'm watching it. And I just kept watching number 11, which was Julian Edelman. And she said he'd catch the ball and he'd get tackled. And she said, you know what the Lord showed me? She said, he never got up and looked at other people and said, why didn't you pick on him? Why did you tackle me? Because he was the one that had the ball. He was the one that had the prized possession and he was the one that had what they wanted. And so when we understand that, when the world says stuff like that, They don't attack many, if any, other institutions the way they attack the church. Why? Because we have what they want. We have the way to heaven. We have the way to life. We have the way to joy. We have the way to contentment. We have the way to peace. We have the way, and they're searching for it, and they look at you guys, and they go, what are you looking all happy about? Don't be surprised when they get upset at you. Don't be surprised when they say bad things about you. Don't allow them to press you into their mold. When they get offended at you, recognize you're carrying the possession. You've got the thing that they want. But the enemy, man, if he can get some mean things said to you on Facebook, there's been many times I've wanted to get involved in some conversations on Facebook because there's people in there that just like to argue. And I realize I can have the perfect reply and they're going to have their opinion. It doesn't matter. So while the world's busy acting up, we need to simply act like Jesus. We simply need to do what Jesus did, which if there's ever a man that had opportunities to be offended, it was Jesus. They kept trying to kill him. And yet he still let him come to their services. Isn't that something? These guys would come in, get mad at him, plan to kill him, interrupt his services. He would do whatever, he would do it, and then they'd leave, they'd show up the next day, they'd be there again. Well, I wonder what they're going to do. Yeah, interrupt the service. Yeah, try to throw them off the hill. It doesn't matter, but Jesus, he didn't matter. Why? Because he knew that they wanted what he had. And so we need to recognize that the Apostle Paul is another one. And that's why the Apostle Paul, even though I know Jesus operated in submission to God, so he is like us. The Apostle Paul, we can really kind of bear witness, you know, kind of say, okay, well, I can handle Paul a little bit more. Maybe I'm more like Paul. And that's why he said he had to work hard at it. It's impossible that it's going to come, but beloved, if you recognize the detriment it'll do to you, you'll work really hard at making sure that offense doesn't come. Amen. And again, guard yourself from the hurt feelings. I understand hurt feelings. I understand that, but that is an entryway to being offended and having your feeling in that area. So that's the first thing. Don't get offended at the world. Number two, don't get offended in the body, at the body. Again, this is one of the areas. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. This is honestly an area that the enemy is going to come at you with his world because he can control the world a lot better. He's the God of the world. But a lot of times he'll also get in to you on, and in the body, a lot of times, I'm not saying all the time, a lot of times there's more perceived wrongs. Pastor Thad's preaching and he says something and they're going, why is he telling everybody my business? Why would he bring that up here? You know, Pastor Jessica must have told him or someone must have, he went through my garbage or whatever, right? And why would he say that in front of everybody? And then perceived, therefore you get offended at Pastor Thad. Somebody walks by you and they're thinking, did I unplug the iron? And they walk right by you, ignored you, and you're like, hola-ti-da. I won't talk to you either. And they sit down and they think, okay, all right. And they're totally oblivious to the fact that you just got your feelings hurt. But you're walking around, and so what happens in here? There's a division of the body. And meanwhile, you know, well, let's read a couple of these scriptures here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. It says, give no offense, none offense, neither to the Jews or the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Don't allow anyone to offend you, not to people that are offshoots. Can we say it like this? Can I say it like this to you? Don't let anybody offend you. Don't let the First Church of God offend you. Don't let Johnson Church of God offend you. Don't let the Baptist Church offend you. Don't let the Methodist Church offend you. Don't let Better Life offend you. And don't let anybody in here offend you. Don't let anyone offend you. Don't allow that to happen in the body of Christ. Because we are a body individually. We are a body of a local body of believers here, but we're a member of a body universally. And so we are loosely connected because of our Father to those that are Christians that go to other churches. And they're either going to fit into one of two categories. They're either going to be the heathen, the world, that just happens to go to a church, or they're going to be people of Christians. I wouldn't say like Precious Faith. They're going to be Christians who just believe a little different than us, that we need to make sure we don't allow ourselves to be offended at. Go to Philippians 2. Because this is the purpose. This is what God says needs to be happening in us and to us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of the love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory for me, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself, looking not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. In other words, what you do is that the enemy wants like nothing, because he knows it ruins our effectiveness when we got person A upset at person B, and person B mad at person C, and then everybody thinks they looked at me bad, they talked about me bad, pastor used me in an illustration, I can't believe this, I can't believe that, and he's ruined our effectiveness because we're not operating as one. You know, I've watched enough basketball games to know that if all five players aren't running the same play, Ryan got so angry a couple weeks ago because, you know, you don't get a lot of last second straight opportunities, and they had like 10 seconds on the clock before halftime, and the coach called a timeout and he said, here's what we're going to run. And it was a play for Ryan, right? There had to be a pick. There had to be Ryan runs at a certain place and then pop out, and it had to be ran the right way. Well, they ran it, and then Ryan ran down to the spot where he was supposed to be for a second before he popped out, and the guy that was supposed to set a screen and the guy that was supposed to be there was standing outside at wanting the ball. And so the clock ran out without us really getting a shot off. And two different people, three different people running different plays, we didn't score. And that's the way it is with the body of Christ, is when we're all doing our own thing, and person A is upset because person B, instead of going, just look, something was on their mind. Are you okay, Pastor Lisa? Are you okay? I'm just trying to think about if I unplugged my iron. I'm sorry, did I walk past you? I'm good, or I'm trying. You know, where all of a sudden, Scott, I figure, because you never. It amazes me how we allow ourselves to think the worst. Because, you know why? Because the enemy drops that little thought in. She's mad at you. She's angry at you because you didn't do this, because you didn't do that. And there's probably no way that she even knew that you did or didn't do it. And she's mad at you because you didn't pray for her on Friday. And you're not even thinking, well, how would she know I didn't pray for her? You're thinking, well, I had other things going on. But that little thing was dropped in. Why? Because the enemy wants you in offense. He wants you not working as one. Our strength is in the fact that we're one. And the enemy will do anything to stop us from operating in that way. So don't get offended at the world. Don't get offended at the body. Hey, but understand, there's going to be opportunities, always opportunities for you to be offended. And don't get offended at God. It's amazing to me, but yet at the same time, it's not amazing to me. Because Jesus says, Luke 7, verse 23, Jesus says, and blessed is he, whoever shall not be offended in me. It's like, what? But Jesus knew. There's a lot of people that try to be offended, me and my Father. Mark 4, 16 and 17. It's the one about the soils, and the one that is sown on stony ground, verse 16. And these are likewise those that are sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word and immediately receive with gladness and have no root in themselves, but endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, In other words, it's going to rise. Why? Because you got some revelation and the enemy wants to knock that revelation out. So when a persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately their response is offense. Now it can be offense at the world. It can be offense at their boss. It can be offense at a person in church. It can be offense at their pastor. And it can easily be offended at God. But I sowed. You told me to sow. You told me to sow. And I sowed. And look what happened. Now my bill is late. Now my this is not getting paid. Now this is. And look what happened because I sowed. I tithe. You told me to tithe. And look what happened. There were some times, I've told you the story about when I tithe. The first time was when I was a youth pastor and I said, Lord, I'm constantly out of money, but you said, prove me. I'm going to prove it. He proved himself that day. And then later on when I was a pastor down in Texas, I sat there and I was getting offended at God. And I said, God, you said, prove me, and I'm proving you. I'm bringing my tithe. And God said to me very strongly, because again, he's going to answer me certain ways, but he said, I have proven myself to you. Now you just obey. But I was finding myself getting offended at him because everything seemed to be stopping up. Why are they stopping up? It wasn't his fault. I was kind of inconsistent with my tithe. And therefore things were getting stopped up because of me, not because of him. So beloved, God's your way out. He's not your problem, he's your way out. And so don't let yourself, don't allow yourself to think, I'm going to quit doing this. A farmer that gets halfway through his harvest and decides, well, this is ridiculous, it should have already happened by now, and quits, is not a very smart farmer. Amen? Amen. God's your source. He's not the reason that you're failing. So don't blame him. Don't be offended at him. So again, these are just things that the Holy Spirit brought up to me. Don't get offended at the world. Don't get offended at the body, at other believers. And don't get offended at God. But I'll throw in the fourth one here. Don't be the offender. Because so often, Luke 17, and we'll just read this scripture one more time. I know it's almost, sometimes when I preach, get deep, we get into certain scriptures real deep. And this almost seems very basic, but it's exactly what I just felt like the Holy Spirit told me, is that, again, what we're moving into. All right. When you're driving your car at 5 miles an hour, you have a lot of time to adjust yourself. If you run off the road going 5 miles an hour, you're really not paying attention. Right? You're really not paying attention because you've got plenty of time. You're going like, oh, there's a ditch there. I'll just slowly bring myself back on the road. And, right? But the faster you get, the more you better be on top of yourself, and the more you better make sure you stay between those lines. Because if you're going out 25 miles an hour, it's going to be a little easier to, when you get over there, to not be able to correct in time. If you're going 55 miles an hour, it's even easier. If you're going 85 miles an hour, you're just a little bit off. When you're going like the NASCAR guys, and you're going 120, 200 miles an hour, what, I don't know how fast they go, you better not make a whole lot of mistakes in your steering. You better keep things tight. And that's kind of how I'm seeing us with where God's taking us, because I believe we're moving to bigger things. There's an escalation. There's a area of us moving quicker, moving higher, having things pop quicker. And we need to guard ourselves from those little things that would take us off where we're going, because it could really prove very detrimental to us. And so this last one, because notice verse 17. He says, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. Now, again, he's not saying there. He's not saying anything to them. He's just saying offenses, your opportunity for offense is going to come. But he doesn't say, woe if you take offense, if you take them. He says, woe to those who through them they come. Whom through whom they come. In other words, the woe is to the one who is the offender. Now again, I think both of them are wrong, and I want to set that real quick, because some people are like, see, I knew it was their fault. No, it's your fault you got offended, that you took offense. But if you're a person, and again, the whole concept of offense, if you look up the words in the definition of it's a trap. It's a stumbling block. It's something that will trap animals in it for their demise. And so a lot of times it's defined as a stumbling block. Well, the Bible says, don't be a stumbling block to your brother. Don't be a stumbling block to young Christians. Don't let your liberty become a stumbling block. Right? And so there's a lot of warnings of being offended, but there's even, I don't want to say more, but there's as many at least, and don't be a stumbling block, and don't be that thing that stands in front of somebody. As Christians, we got to make sure that we don't sit on either side of this thing, that offense has nothing to do with us. Now, many Christians sit with pride. I'm going to just talk to you a little bit about exactly what it came in. A lot of Christians sit with pride and say, I am unoffendable. Yet they walk around making others work overtime to not get offended. You listen, you hearing me on this? You know, right? In other words, I'm unoffendable. I can't be offended. But they're very short. Let me give you some things. They're short with people. They're mean to people. They're overly opinionated about things. And again, it's that you go online and you hear somebody online going, well, this is the way it is, and you're stupid if you don't. And you're like, Well, that person is causing you to have to work at not being offended. And instead of you going and maybe instead of your prayer time being one of those prayer times where you're like touching heaven, you're spending your whole time saying, Lord, help me not beat this guy. Help me not, right? Because that person created an atmosphere of offense where you now have to spend your effort and your time not being offended, and not everybody succeeds at that. Right? They make others feel uncomfortable. Another couple of areas, I was just doing some study and a couple of these thoughts came across. Ways that we offend people is just simply being thoughtless. In other words, we don't think about how what just came out of our mouth would affect the other person. And we're just not thinking about it. Now again, what we need to do is we need to watch ourselves. We need to think about what we say. How did what just come out of my mouth? You know, have you ever been talking to somebody and they kind of look at you weird, but then they act like nothing happened? So you're like, nothing happened. Okay, I don't know what that look was for. Well, perhaps it was just a thoughtless way that you said something that just would be wise for you to say, did I say that wrong? I'm sorry. So that's not my problem. It really is. Because if you have offended somebody, now again, we can't go around on tiptoes going, I hope I didn't offend anybody today. Because that's something else. There was a part of this where somebody was talking about where you offend people and you don't know, and that you need to do, and I was like, well, come on. You know, just simply by talking about Jesus, you're going to offend some people. Just by simply talking about prosperity, you're going to offend some people. Talking about healing, you're going to offend some people. So you can't walk around on tiptoes and just like afraid that I'm going to offend people. You know, you can still talk. So I'm not dealing with that. I'm talking about just where you say thoughtless things, things that were just kind of not necessary to say and that affect people. Now again, here's my point. You say, well, isn't that sound similar to what that is? Not necessarily. Because the thoughtless thing I'm saying are maybe fit of that thing about being kind of harsh or mean or in your face or something like that, and just wasn't necessary. And here's our thing, is that we ask God, let me know when I say that, because I don't ever want to be offensive to anybody. So again, I'm not sitting here where we're walking on tiptoes. But if your purpose in coming to church is to get your opinion across to people, you're wrong. Your purpose for coming to church needs to be edify and encourage people. And that when Neil goes home, he knows Pastor Thad loves him, and he knows he doesn't have to sit there trying to fight off certain things that Pastor Thad may or may not have said, or you know, that it's just legitimately, I feel loved, and I feel refreshed, and I feel encouraged. Amen. Defensively, being defensive, or in other words, you've been hurt by others. This is Pastor Lisa says something to me about, we've had this conversation before with all teachers or all nurses, all, you know, maybe she says to me like, see, like every pastor is just after money. No, it's not. And all of a sudden, I'm like, well, teachers are swindlers, and they just want this, and they just want this. And I had teachers, I know teachers that are, and I start attacking her just because I felt a little threatened. That's defensive. Well, there's people that do that. They'll offend others because they feel threatened, right? And they feel like that person said something to them the picture I saw was Pastor Lisa coming in thinking that she unplugged her iron, and Beulah walking out to go get her coffee, and they totally just, and Pastor Lisa just totally, and Beulah goes, well, fine, just ignore me, I don't care, I don't like you that much anyway. You think you're all something big, you get to stand up in front of people, and so now you're just going to treat us as low lives. She felt like something was done to her, and so she attacks, and now Pastor Lisa's going. You find that can be a reason why how people attack is just really a defensive mechanism where they attack, which again, that my point is here, is don't expect the worst in people. We've got to get beyond that. I'll leave that alone. But negative responses, and that goes where we just where we're basically getting back, getting even with other people. But those are all things and we can do that on social media. People start commenting on stuff that we don't like how they comment. I just learned if somebody's going to comment on something, I just delete their post. I don't need their negativity in my life, but I don't need to go back to them and start getting personal with them and start doing things to offend them. See, here's the point I want to get across to you, is that when you attack, woe to them who through offense comes. When you attack other people, you are, or when you're creating them having to now deal with, I cannot take offense. I cannot take offense. I cannot take offense. You are causing them to get sidetracked in what God really wants to do in their life. What God really wants to speak to them in their lives. And now they're having to focus on, now again, as believers, I'm talking about believers. The world, they're going to offend you. They don't care about offending you. And that's where we got to say, I'm unoffendable. But when you are used, make it a contest to see who can be the first one to say they're sorry, to apologize. It's not fun, but it's not hard either. Just simply make it right. To say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be offended. And on top of that, if anything I said to you hurt your feelings, I apologize. And they may, or they, it may be the beautiful Hallmark moment where it's like, flower petals start falling from the sky and everything is, and they may look at you and go, yeah, you should be sorry. And then you go, woe to you, baby. Woe to you. right? But I just, it just sensed in me when I read that article and how people were offended. I was like, I don't have time to be offended at Zaxby's because they may be disrespected Chick-fil-A. You know, last time I checked, Zaxby's a business, Chick-fil-A's a business, and Zaxby's wants to try to get the people to eat chicken at Zaxby's, and Chick-fil-A wants to get the people to eat at Chick-fil-A, and Zaxby's has a business model, Chick-fil-A has a business model. Hey, you know what? Eat where you want to eat. Quit being so thin-skinned that something like that offends you. Because all you're doing is you're identifying yourself with the world system. And beloved, you cannot manifest what God has for us to manifest by acting like the world acts. Amen? And I'm going to let that be suffice for tonight. I trust that what I said clearly. But don't be offended at the world. Don't be offended in the body. Don't be offended at God, and don't be the offender. And just as caution. Now we might get into. I think we're going to get into it more because I there's so much that I did not put in this message because I had so much information. But if God wants me to move on to a couple other things, because He gave me a couple other things that kind of flow in this vein, I'll just do that. Amen, amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. Praise God. I guess it's kind of weird saying this, but I guess it's supposed to rain a little bit over the next day. Amen. It's going to be a beautiful rain, and there's going to be times of where it dries up, and or not dries up, but it stops and gives us a break. And no matter what, you look at the radar and say, I don't think that's what the radar shows. I'm telling you, I'm telling the radar what it's going to do. So it's going to be a nice day, and then we're going to have some sun. Goodness gracious, time for some sun, isn't it? Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We are grateful, Father, for your word, and I thank you that your word is not just this one dimensional thing that just says here's how to get to heaven, but that it is a multidimensional that says here's how to live heaven on earth. Here's how to walk in heaven's resources while we're on earth. And some of the things that we talk about are so exciting. It makes us want to swing from the chandelier and get excited. And some of them, like this, are kind of like, no, but I enjoy getting it. This person deserves it. Yeah, I understand that. And it makes sense in the flesh, but we don't live according to our flesh. We live according to our spirit. And in our spirit, it doesn't make sense. And so we will never be made perfect in the spirit by obeying our flesh. And so, Father, let us check ourselves. Let us give you access to ourselves to make sure that. And again, I think all of us in this room would say stuff like, "Well, I don't ever say I'm offended," but we kind of decorate it by saying, "Well, that really hurt my feelings." Well, that needs to be a red light. That needs to be something that we guard ourselves with, because it's hallelujah. Feelings that are hurt, and again, what is that? What is that? That's hurt feelings by the flesh, hurts your soul, and gets you to make some really stupid decisions. And so, what we need to do is we need to keep our hearts set on the things of God. Give you access to who we are, to correct us when we need to be corrected, to get things lined up when we get lined up, because as we get moving faster in the things of God, Father, we're going to need to stay on the road. Hallelujah. So I love you. I praise you. I thank you, Father. Let these words sink down deep into us, and we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.